Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Actually podcast. I'm Tristan.
And I am Bob.
And it is the first week of the new year. It is January 1st, 2020.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. There's some really great stuff coming out this week. We've got really big news Marvel stuff going on that's first issues. And some just knocking one of these guys way out of the park.
I agree.
As far as I'm concerned.
I think you're thinking.
And and some other great stuff and some wonderful things from DC as well. Not a ton of indies that were of much note this week, but some good stuff.
A couple.
So I guess we're just going to start. We're going alphabetically today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Action Comics 1018.
This is drawn by John Romita Jr. It is written by Brian Bendis, and it stars the Justice League, guest stars the Justice League, and also the Legion of Doom. It's, you know, I would say read it if you're already reading it. Read it if you enjoyed Leviathan, and read it if you are enjoying the Justice League Doom War from the Justice League, because it ties into literally all of those things.
But it's not tying into the big identity reveal story that's going on in regular Superman.
No, I think it takes place
from Superman 18.
Before or after. There is identity revealing stuff related to, but it doesn't reference the actual identity-ing.
Sure. All right. okay, cool.
I think they missed an opportunity to call it Identity Christmas. I don't know. Like, it came out right around Christmas.
You're not wrong. Batgirl 42 is coming out.
I didn't read it.
It's that Oracle story continuing. Batman Beyond 39.
Mm, I flipped through that. It looks cool.
It's funny. I'm trying to identify why this is like one of the better Batman books and why this is one of the most successful ongoing series. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because it throws back to an older style of comic writing that we don't see anymore. It's like
this fun.
Well, I mean, it is fun, but it's also fun and ridiculous. And it's like it's setting up things that can't possibly continue, which is something that I like. It's like this whole story arc is like Bruce Wayne being like, yeah, screw Terry McGinnis. He's dead. Don't care. And it's like, I kind of love that it's like this really crazy.
Yeah.
Like
the kind of comics that like had a cover in the 60s that was like, screw Terry McGinnis. Yeah. You know, like, what's the deal?
Like Superman flying away and leaving Lois Lane strapped to the front of a bus that's plummeting off a cliff.
Exactly.
Like those kind of stories.
Oh, man. I saw this great one that I have to find. I think it's a World's Finest, but I'm not really sure. It has Superman and Batman in it regardless. And Superman is dead in a morgue on the cover. And then Batman is laying on an operating table next to Superman's corpse. And some guy's like, Superman's dead. I'm going to put his super heart in Batman's chest. And Batman's like, no, I know someone more deserving, please.
Yes, I've seen this one.
Never seen it before, and it looks great.
It's a delight.
Nice.
Black Panther and the Agents of Wakanda, number 5, is out.
Yes.
Books of Magic, number 15, is out.
Indeed.
We've got Copra, number 4, which is out. FIFA. And, yes. And Crone, number 3. What a fun book.
I like Crone.
Yeah, I love that book. I mean, we all love all of these things, but yeah.
Crone is fun.
Crone is very fun.
It's great. That's one of my indies. I like it. Basically, Crone, if you're curious and haven't checked out Crone, Crone is basically like, what if Red Sonja like got old and still badass?
Yep, absolutely.
But with really good writing and art.
Yeah, Daredevil 16. It's out.
I didn't check it out, but the last issue of Daredevil was really good.
Yes.
So I assume this one is also good.
Death or Glory, number 8.
Yeah, cool book.
Very cool book. Detective Comics 1018.
This one was interesting in that what happened in it was there was something. There was a lot of really cool
this
snow.
This is the aftermath of the City of Bane storyline.
Yeah, but it's the thing that was cool about it was, for me, like, I liked the art. I thought it was, I didn't know who the artist was, so it was like a new kind of style, and I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it's another one of those like crazy Batman supernatural type stories that I always liked those. I mean, because probably the Scooby-Doo thing, but I like the idea of these in Detective Comics way back. It always used to be there's a supernatural force, especially Neil Adams era, where it was like there's a ghost haunting the mansion and Robin's dead and this. Oh, looks like old man Withers was just doing, you know, like, and it's not really what.
Oh, yeah, but this one is like there's like a crazy like axe murdering Norse guy.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Axe murdering Norse man.
And some sort of crazy supernatural creature thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's
cool. It had cool art, and I can't remember obviously who did it, but it was worth checking out.
Yes. Dial H for Hero number 10.
This one is bitty bonkers. Totally bonkers.
Bitty bitty bonkers.
Bitty bitty bonkers. It is it's actually one of the more cohesive. Some of the more recent issues have been kind of like, I think, purposefully out there, but you get like a big reveal if you've been following the series, and the art is really cool. And there's just like, if you're a fan of like amalgam of like different heroes like smashed together in like the most bizarre way, like it's just like what two things could possibly be like more diametrically opposed, and then let's smash them together into one thing. There was a lot of that kind of fun stuff in it.
Yeah. Doctor Doom number 4 is out. Mm-hmm. Continuing this crazy storyline, Latvia is being invaded, blah blah blah.
Latvia,
my homeland of Latvia is being invaded.
don't be ridiculous.
Don't be ridiculous.
I can't do the accent.
Dreaming number 17 is out. Everything number 5 is out from Berger Books.
It's the last issue of the first volume.
Yeah. It's this book unfortunately lost me. I had such high hopes for it.
I'm actually not surprised. The art in this one and the story looks a lot. I need to read them now all together, because there's definitely a volume 2 and I need to figure out if I'm on board for volume 2 or not.
I think I need to go over the whole thing again.
Exactly.
And see if it really does have a connecting thread.
I would recommend it as a trade read. The last issue, this one, 5, seemed the most like narratively precise, kind of like here's like what so. And then I was reading the ad for volume 2, which they had an ad in the back of it for volume 2, and it was like blah 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 this and blah 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 that, and I was like, oh, that's what's happening. Oh, okay.
I feel like maybe some crib notes on this one wouldn't hurt if someone was just like, by the way,
previously
this is what's
in
going
everything
on. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Little confusing.
But the art was INJ Colbard, and that guy is awesome. So it, guaranteed it has great art, although I actually thought the art improved as it went along, and the last issue was really, really good.
Hmm.
Like, so maybe volume 2 will be...
Yeah.
I'm this is the point now where I will make that decision that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I'll stay, maybe I won't, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I need to check it out in a trade. I would like to reread it. I want to give it a chance because it had those first two issues had so much potential.
Yeah. Yeah, and the idea of it definitely had like a lot of potential. It's just cool, and it felt like it might have a lot to say about stuff that I'm interested in.
Yeah, exactly. It just feels
consumer culture and weird mind control stuff, and you know, I don't know.
Spooky.
My two favorite subjects, consumer culture and mind control. It seemed interesting and unique.
Yeah. Flash 85.
Yeah, that is actually was kind of fun, and I liked that the artist was named Deuce.
It's a Mirror Master story.
It's like a Rogue War kind of thing.
Oh, nice.
So there's a bunch of different rogues.
Yeah, it's the Rogues Reign part 4, so that would make sense.
It's going to rain rogues.
It actually, I think,
at a certain point does actually rain rogues.
Good. G.I. Joe number 4 is out. Grendel, Devil's Odyssey number 3.
What a beautiful welcome book.
What a great book. We have talked this one up a lot, and it is actually selling much better than I would have ever imagined.
Yeah.
It's the kind of book that tends to be like, we'll sell a nice chunk right at the beginning, and then it'll just peter out to nothing because people are like, oh, okay, it's something that had too much history, and so I'm just gonna back off.
But this kind of like came into it with like understanding that.
Yeah.
Also, it's drawn by Matt Wagner, which is kind of nice.
But I mean,
it's really nice.
We've already gone through this, but I mean, like when Mage came out, we just did not sell Mage.
Yeah,
the
but
new
like
Mage was like, brr.
That doesn't surprise me because like I am, You know, I mean, I know, like, I should be open to, like, all avenues of, like, what comics are about, but the idea of, like, reading a story about, like, a middle-aged bald dude with a magic baseball bat was just kind of, like, I don't know. I felt like...
Fair.
I didn't... there was no burning desire in me to, like, see the visual potential of that.
And also... also, there was definitely the burden of too much backstory in that one.
Yeah.
That really had a lot of, like, oh, you need to know...
everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
So that's kind of weird. However, there is an amazing thing out this week. Probably also one of my favorite covers of all time. I love this cover.
Ooh, which is
Harley Quinn 69.
Oh, yeah.
What an amazing cover is on this book. It is the Joker as a hamburger eating Harley Quinn, who is eating a hamburger.
It totally is.
Wonderful.
It's Harley Quinn 69, and it says, look at the buns on this one. And she is eating a burger while sitting inside a burger that is also... I mean, it's weird to me that on the cover it's the Joker, because inside it is 100% Mayor McCheese.
Yes.
And the entire issue is Harley Quinn interacting with the McDonald Land... Fantasyland characters, up to and including an unfortunate,
yes,
for Tristan thing. But it's
the Hambezler, who also may share a name with a character that I created like 2 years ago. But whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
I did not publish it, so I deserve it.
That's how it goes. But this issue is guest written by Mark Russell, who is my favorite comic book writer.
He is
at
fucking
the moment.
Amazing.
He is fantastic. But it is also drawn by the regular art team, Sammy Basri. And other people.
Yes.
But it's perfect. It's crazy. It's like a, you know, I mean, the Harley Quinn series is actually, I don't know, I might be the only person who subscribes to the DC channel that you, like,
that's
the,
you.
The subscription service. And I watched the first couple issues, episodes of the new Harley Quinn cartoon, which I can confirm that Kaylee Cuoco likes to say the word fuck.
Yes.
As many times as possible now. And that's now her thing. I mean, I don't know. It actually is like they try to do a cartoon of the Amanda Conner, Jimmy Palmiotti-ish. But it's like there's actually aspects of it that are really good. But the language is just like so over the top. It's like, OK, I get it. They say fuck. Awesome. Awesome. You know, I like the comic of Harley Quinn.
Yes.
You know, it's not, I don't know how it would like possibly fit in with Suicide Squad or any of that stuff. So there's no like continuity. It's just like, I mean, this is literally like Harley Quinn teaming up with the Hamburglar to investigate Miss Mayor McCheese. It's like perfect.
It's pretty amazing. And speaking of things that are amazing, Hawkeye Freefall number one.
What
a good book.
It's a great book. I'm a little sad that Otto Schmidt has jumped to Marvel, but at the same time, he is awesome.
Yeah.
I love Otto Schmidt. He is fantastic. And it's Matt Rosenberg, who's a really good writer.
Yep.
So, yeah, I really enjoyed that. There's, like, a lot of, like, just humor to it, which a good Hawkeye book should have, but it doesn't feel, like, derivative. It's not trying to recreate, like, the Fraction series
not
or anything like
all.
That. It's, like...
And it feels like a superhero comic. Like, straight to the core of being a superhero comic, but yet managing to be as funny as the Fraction type of humor. It has that same kind of world, but it's also... Yeah. It's also straight into, like, basically an Avengers-type take on Hawkeye. And it's fun. You know, somebody's running around
book.
in the old Ronin costume and killing
people.
Which
now has a mouth.
Which now has an angry face on it. It's got a grumpy face.
Yeah. And also, like, a couple fan favorite characters show up who I have a feeling that with the era of what's happening, you'll see a lot more of those two characters now appearing together in every comic.
Yeah, but also I will say that them showing up and then being berated in the way that they were was wonderful. It was actually very funny. Justice League Dark number 18.
I love Justice League Dark. And there's a cool... I don't want to give it too much away, but there's a thing on the last page where it's like such and such thing is going to happen. And for me, I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I want.
I don't think I remember it now. So I just remember the big thing that showed up at the end. So interesting. Okay. Well, I liked it. And apparently I didn't read the last page. Anyway, Killadelphia number two. this book that really blindsided me. I did not. Oh, Jesus! I totally didn't read the last page. That
but
is
it's
awesome.
Not just that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that.
Oh yeah, I
so,
see.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. Holy Justice shit. League Dark. 18.
Justice League Dark. Awesome. Yeah, reintroduction of somebody who is somebody who I want to see come back.
I think wasn't like the most popular of things, but like was a great little book from recent DC memory, and I'm just happy to see it being still a thing.
Yeah, and Back to Killadelphia. That book is awesome.
I haven't read it.
That's going to be a trade weight, I think, for most people. You know, we didn't get a crap ton of them, but we did sell out the first run pretty quick. And it is really good. It's an Image book, crazy vampire story, fun.
Hmm.
Lois Lane number 7.
This is a series that I'm following. If you're not already following it, wait for the trade. It's Greg Rucka,
totally.
So it's like a slowly developing. Definitely. Like I would actually advise, you know, just like get the trades.
Yep.
Get the trades. It'll probably be 2. It's a 12 issue mini.
Marauders number 5.
That was good.
Yeah. Always. Martian Manhunter number 11, I assume, was great.
It was great, and it's the second to last issue of this thing, so another probably, like, if you're not already reading it, check out the trade.
Last two Martian Manhunter series have been great.
Yeah. This one's not quite as good as the last one, but it's a little more weird. I love Riley Rossmo, and his take on Martian Manhunter is great because he's got this, like, kind of...
Yeah.
I'd actually really like to see him do, like, a Plastic Man or, like...
Metamorpho.
Yeah, have him draw like the Terrifics. Would be fantastic. But
how is the Terrifics still coming out?
I don't know, because the new issue, we'll get to it, and if we're going alphabetically, it's out. It was actually really good.
I'm
like,
sure.
I really
it's
like
just,
it.
Nobody
it's
buys
like,
it.
Because it's like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why, but it's like the most, it started out as like, it's DC's Fantastic Four, but it is like so like Claremont era X-Men that the parallels are like, I'll talk about it when we get to it.
Cool. Interesting. All right. Yeah. Misplaced number 2 came out from Source Point. It's an interesting book. I don't really know what's going on with it because I keep skimming it because we get so few copies of it. But it's the art is great. It's a very competent book. It feels like it's kind of a superhero horror story if I'm reading it correctly.
I don't know which one is this one.
It's called Misplaced. We only get like 3 copies of it for subscribers, pretty much. But
it's not ringing any
it's
bells.
It's not a huge one, but it's you know it continues to exist.
Nice.
Olympia number 2.
That was
that's a cool book.
It is a cool book. I'm curious like where I think this one might be like a trade weight as well for me.
Yep.
Not to say like don't buy the issues. There's only 2, so you know, that's pretty cool. I love the like obvious anything that's like clearly just like a love letter to Jack Kirby. Like I love it. It's this weird thing where it's like basically like sort of a Thor comic, but like that sort of like a like if Thor from the comics like interacted with like the real world.
Yeah, kind of that. Punisher Soviet number 3 is out.
Oh, it is gory.
It is definitely
gory.
There is a scene to address a character's issues. Why he has problems and why he can't sleep at night and things. And the thing that happens to him is so horrific that it's like...
It's like almost like... This is like if the Punisher crossed over with like Crossed.
Yeah.
To me, it's like starting to feel like that.
Yeah, it's like Hellraiser version of the Punisher.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is it's a Special Forces Afghanistan story, blah, blah, blah. But it is Garth Ennis doing crazy war stuff.
Yep.
Red Hood and the Outlaws number 41.
Super fun. Honestly, super fun. I think this book is like totally undoubtedly under everyone's radar, but it is like 100% does not get the credit it deserves for being a super fun superhero comic book.
I would have to agree with that.
Yeah.
Spider-Man and Venom Double Trouble number 3.
Oh, I didn't even
see that. Cute. It continues to be cute. It's a kid's book that wasn't really addressed as a kid's book. It's okay. I mean,
I
the art is phenomenal.
Yeah, I liked it. It was fun.
Star Wars number one. So this is the big one.
Yeah.
Well, one of the big ones. It's not as big for this.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
You see, it's funny you say that because I mean, everyone's like, oh, another Star Wars number one or whatever. But I literally feel like for me, as a person who likes Star Wars, the way that I like it, I know everyone has their own version of this kind of fandom. Mine is kind of more straightforward than a lot of people with deep dives. And so this book is quite literally the thing that I've been waiting to see since 1982.
So basically, because it continues directly
literally
from
Empire. Empire ends, and then that's it.
It's like the next scene. Like, if there was another scene immediately after the last scene in Empire Strikes Back, it would be what this comic is. It was cool. I liked it. I just saw the last Star Wars, the newest Star Wars, and for me, the only thing that kept me from being all about, like, thinking this is the best thing going is that, like, I had this kind of switch turn off after that where I was like, I'm finally done with Star Wars. Like, it's
That's
been
what I feel like a lot of people
40
feel.
Years of, like, every, like, always wanting, like, to know the next thing. And it's like, I finally, like, seeing
it feels
that
like
film,
closure.
It was just like, and so I'm not necessarily ready to open a new, but I think that if I were, this is exactly the kind of book that I would be looking
for. I read this and it was legitimately like, it felt like one of those moments where you're like, how the hell did this not happen yet? How, like, this,
I feel like it kind of has, it's just not this specific,
just not
like,
well. You know, if they ever
I mean,
did
some of it,
it
was well, like the early Jason Aaron Star Wars were kind of like
those were, but it was a different,
but it was
exactly.
a different era, you know,
but this era is the one that I care about. Like, this is the one that has,
because that was the best movie of the entire franchise.
More than that, you're talking about literally this time when he goes from like, I think the Force is like a thing where I can kind of hear some stuff and maybe I can lift a rock. And then he's like crazy magic man on Jabba's barge.
Yeah.
And he's flipping around like a crazy person. And you're like, how did he get to here? This was like a 4-year period of like, nobody knows what happened in between.
Yeah.
However long it is. Some Star Wars nerd's going to get mad at me that I said 4 years. Whatever it was.
Clearly it was. I mean, honestly.
It was in
like,
parsecs.
Yeah. I personally like, I like the... whatever. I'm not going to get into what I like about Star Wars. That's
but either
a
way,
stupid long conversation. This was fun.
Loved it.
Super fun. The art was really good. It had that kind of like photorealistic in the way that like it, like you can clearly tell that the person is good at like, it looks like Mark Hamill. It looks like Carrie Fisher, but it isn't like slavishly like kind of.
Agree.
Like, I mean, but it wasn't. It definitely wasn't like. Very expressive. It was more just kind of like it was good. It was good. I actually thought Chewbacca looked in particularly really good in it.
There's a really funny they sent us like some promo stuff for this to give out, and one of them is an Empire Strikes Back painting. Everybody looks great. It's really incredible piece of art, and there's a Yoda in the corner, and he looks like fucking Danny DeVito, and it kills me every time I look at it.
Nice.
It's like he's got like a human face. It looks like Danny DeVito in a Yoda costume.
Oh man, prepare to get like inundated with like a billion Yoda things too. Now that like
I know
thing is like a thing. I'm so already so sick of seeing that Guy Fieri as Baby Yoda meme. Like it's everywhere. I'm like, it was funny the first time I saw it.
You know
it's
what's
literally
funny?
Everywhere.
I literally have never seen it.
Oh man, it is everywhere.
Almost makes me
feel. Now that I've mentioned it, you'll see it.
I don't want to. So Transformers number 15. They transform. Web of Black Widow number 5.
Yes.
I believe this is the last issue of this, or it's the last issue of this arc. One of the two. And maybe my favorite book of the week.
Wait, Web of Black Widow was?
No.
Oh, you're talking about your favorite book of the week.
Yeah, I skipped over what my favorite book of the week was, which was Thor number 1.
Thor number 1 was very good.
Holy crap. Coming off of Jason Aaron doing probably my favorite run of comics in a very long time, it's strange that I was able to read this and just be so excited about Thor for like the first time in a very long time. this is just awesome. This is just super fun, and it's opening up a ton of crazy crap to happen in the future. So I'm looking forward to it. And also, what's the other thing?
It was cool. So the one thing I want to shout out for Thor is, like, Donnie Cates is just great. Marvel is really smart to put him on as many high-profile things as possible.
And I put him on big things.
Big things. I loved the absolute carnage. And so, like, clearly seeing this as, like, the next, like, kind of big storyline that he's shepherding. But also, Nick Klein is awesome.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a lot from him, but what I have seen is great, and I thought the art in this was really good. If you were a fan of, like, Olivier Coipel style of Thor art, this is, like, not derivative of it in any means, but it's, like, kind of almost informed by it, some of the design choices or whatever. But I like the idea of what they're doing with Asgard and kind of opening it up for new stories and new, it's not just like this cycle that leads to Ragnarok and then starts again. It's like, you know, like it felt like a cool progression, but I also like it goes away from Asgard in a super cool way.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes cosmic, as he likes to do.
Very smart.
But unlike everybody else who does cosmic stuff, I love it. Which is weird, because I hate Marvel in the cosmic sense, except Cosmic Ghost Rider, except for this thing. And, like, it's just everything he does, I'm all about it.
Yeah, I liked Annihilation, the first Annihilation.
Oh, the first Annihilation was amazing. Awesome. And I also loved the first Guardians of the Galaxy run and some of the subsequent ones. But
well, all of that came from Annihilation, that Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. Was like, Guardians of the Galaxy was, like, from the future until Annihilation.
Tarot, number one. How about that?
Tarot was that Marvel thing.
That was that Defenders Avengers thing.
Yeah, it's just a weird kind of history, comic history, kind of like Marvel comic history thing. Yeah. There's like different, like,
it's
classic
a story
Avengers,
that
classic
happened
Defenders.
In the time. It's like a throwback to something that was going on at the time, and it's like kind of an in-between.
Yeah.
Is it, I didn't actually check this out. There's no information on these sorts of things. Is this just like a one-off, like any of those?
I think it's like maybe a shorter miniseries. I don't really know what the time span of it, but it didn't feel like it ended. Like, it felt like there's going to be at least one more.
Oh,
issue. Interesting.
Because they'd been doing all these things where they were like, look, here's a Hulk story by Peter David. Here's this thing.
Yeah.
And it's like from the middle of their most classic run, and they're like, oh, here, look, they're just doing stuff in that.
This is Alan Davis wrote it. So artist Alan Davis wrote it, and then the art was by Renault or something like that, who's someone I don't recognize, but probably should. And it was just kind of this, like, it started with the Invaders.
Yes.
Like, there was the Invaders at the beginning, and there was, like, this whole thing where, like, but there was, like, so many things introduced into it that there's no way this was all of it. Like, it has to be, like, a miniseries of some, like, a short cycle of comics.
Fair. Did I mention that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Urban Legends number 20 is out?
You did not.
It is. Continues to be. I think these are all still reprints of the original 90s Image series. Still, they're awesome. I had a lot of fun with this series. And lastly, very lastly, X-Men.
Oh, yeah. X-Men is another, like, sitting around a table eating.
But it's
but
great.
There's a lot of really cool
it's
stuff
such,
in it.
Of all the, like, unlike the first issue of X-Men where they were all sitting around doing dishes.
Yeah.
This one, there's a point to all of it, and
absolutely,
it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, the reason that they're sitting around the table, the discussion of world events, and the discussion of where Krakoa fits into the world now and who they are, and basically them setting themselves up as there's a through line with the new X-Men series where they're basically just saying, listen, this is us. We are better than you. You guys have fucked up. You've set all these standards for the world. We can exploit everything you do, and we can do everything you do better. So we're just going to do it by your rules.
Well, but I feel like the only issue I would take with that description is that, like, even though, like, someone like Magneto thinks he's better than everybody else, it's not like they have this law. Like, their prime directive is, like, you can't kill people.
Right.
Like, there has to be, like, a thing where they're like, Xavier is pushing a coexistence thing. So it's not we're better, but we are, but they're
still
saying is that we are not going to let you fuck with us anymore.
Because
and
this
that
one
is the big
there
change.
There was a moment in this one that was essentially Xavier saying, 1 month.
Is how long it took.
It took 1 month for us to establish Krakoa before you shot me in the head.
Yeah.
So we know that you guys kind of have problems.
Yeah.
And so if this happens again, you've been warned, there will be retribution.
Yeah. Which,
so
sorry for the spoiler.
But that's a big, but that's a big deal.
It is definitely
it's gonna
a
be,
big deal.
It's going like to be an interesting, it's, I mean, it's been, that speech is essentially the whole point of every issue leading up to this, right? So far,
well,
has been where they've been going.
The thing about X-Men 2 is, like, there's two issues a month, so, like, it's having one issue where they just sit around a dinner table is kind of, like, not, like, if it was just once a month, maybe I'd be a little bit like, maybe I'll wait for the trade on this one, you know. And honestly, I think you could easily wait for trades on this and probably be, they're probably written for that format. But
it's funny that you say that, because in this instance, this is where I'm like, I am addicted to this like a soap opera, but I am an X-Men fan.
Yeah.
So I'm really just like, every time it comes out, I'm like, I need to know what the next thing is. Even Fallen Angels, which I hated the first two issues, I kept going even with the insane amount of crap we have to read each week.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I was, it paid off because number three and number four were awesome.
Yeah. I was talking to you in the store about how that's kind of how Walking Dead was for me, where it was like, I just like, I wanted to read every issue of it as if it was a soap opera.
Yeah.
And
that's what made it so fun, is because it was, Kirkman is so brilliant about writing things for issues.
Yeah.
That's how, I mean, every single issue of The Walking Dead ends with a cliffhanger, and it ends with like a, oh my God, but then what's going to happen? And it's fun.
I like the idea that, and I maybe I'm, actually, before I say it, you vamp for a minute. I got to check something.
And speaking of Kirkman, if you like bastardizations of fun Kirkman projects, be sure to check out Super Dinosaur on Amazon. It's pretty bad.
I don't actually have the book with me. So I thought one of the things about how it reads, and that I kind of like, does it, I know it had the insert ad where it like folds out and it's got, here's all the comics that are coming out. But like, I feel like, does it have regular ads in it as well?
The X-Men?
Yeah.
I don't know.
A lot of like, there's like whole story pages that are like, here's the menu of what they're eating. And I'm kind of like, you know, it's cool and all. Like, I love that like idea of it, but it's like, it's so wonky. It's so just like,
but,
up its own butt in that way. That's,
oh, well, I mean, if you hire Hickman, you want to go up your own butt.
But like, where I loved Manhattan Projects, that was kind of like, did a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily love it when he did like Avengers. Like,
right.
So, I mean, but that's just me.
And I absolutely agree with you. I think his Avengers run was impenetrable. I think it was just, it was too much. It was too cosmic and too highbrow sci-fi for something like the Avengers, adding all of these like incredibly huge concepts to this basically, you know, idiots punching each other kind of story that is more fun when it's idiots punching each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's too
much. X-Men, I'm definitely more into it than I was.
The X-Men can be much more than punching each other, because they always have been more than punching each other.
Yeah, because there's always been subtext to it.
But,
and I like that they're taking the subtext and creating new subtext and kind of doing like, you know, there really is like a lot of like stuff where they're addressing like how the media works to like control the, you know, national narratives and stuff like that. You know, like that's, you can do that with the X-Men in a way that like maybe it doesn't work as much for Avengers.
Yeah.
But that said, like, what I mean, really, my only point of it is just like, if a page of the comic is like a menu, like, I'm just gonna skip it, which is probably like, that's where there's like this cool stuff that you find in the little
but
cracks and crevices, and that's like, that's just not my kind.
It depends. I mean, and that's the thing though, because you can read the X-Men books by skipping all of that shit. Or if you're the type of person who wants that kind of stuff, you can. I mean, honestly, the same could be said of Watchmen. Like, you do not need to read Silk Spectre's diary. You don't need to, or whatever.
No,
you know, like,
or any of the,
any
back
of the books,
or any,
or
of,
any of those things that they put in there. That it's all not necessary. It's you know, it adds to it, but it doesn't subtract enough that just read it as
Watchmen put that in, and it was still kind of like a comic book stuff. Like there was like the Black Freight or whatever that was just like in it as like kind of this like meta text that was like in
I was thinking about like Night Owl.
Yeah,
but like Night Owl writing about birds.
Right, right. You know, like even that is like it's a page of comics, you know, if even if it's just like a page of like a drawing of a diary, it's still like it's still
yeah, yeah.
It's not a graph that tells you the power structure of the Hellfire Club.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know, it's not like I'm just less interested in charts and graphs, and they kind of just don't. That's the only aspect of X-Men that's kind of, and I think it comes out a little bit quick.
Yes.
For the amount of, you know, so I've already kind of, you know, Fallen Angels is right. not something I'm paying attention yep. to as much. I mean, obviously, I love to come in the store and flip through stuff yeah. and check it out and be like, oh, this is cool and that's cool. And there's nothing about X-Men that isn't cool. It's just like there's a lot of weight of like material, and then it's like also
yes.
It's
speed.
Yeah, but it's like it's buoyed by like charts and graphs and stuff.
Yes.
And
kinda like, Fair enough.
Whatever. Sorry.
So those are the things we have
trades. Let me.
Yeah, there's some good trades out this week.
We got
a couple of. I don't know if we just missed these at some other point, but we got two like nice Conan Epic collections in.
Oh, nice.
Which are pretty good.
There was those two Wonder Woman graphic novels. One is like a YA, and one is like a kids one. The YA one it's an adaptation of a novel.
Okay.
Wonder Woman. Warbringer, and it's Louise Simonson adapted it, and Kit Seaton is the art. The art was really cool, but the novel is written by Lee Bardugo. Anyway, it was a very non-Wonder Woman-y take on kind of like the origin of Wonder Woman. There's no point in it where she like puts on the Wonder Woman costume and lassos people or anything. It's more just like she's an Amazon from this island, and like stuff happens, and that's kind of congruous with the established Wonder Woman origin. And then there's Diana, Princess of the Amazons,
which is adorable.
Which is it's Shannon Hale and Dean Hale, illustrated by Victoria Ying, and it's just a very cute kind of like all ages Wonder Woman story. Then you also got Color Out of Space. No, Rumorg.
Rumorg. Rumorg has a big thing on the new Richard. What's his face? Richard. Michelle knows this, but she's not telling me. Color Out of Space. Direct. What's that? Stanley. Richard Stanley. Thank you.
All right.
Richard Stanley, who was the one. If you watch the Lost Souls documentary about the making of the Island of Dr. Moreau, where he is the director who was kicked off of the project, and it was like his dream project, and he did so many amazing things for it, and then they just basically turned it into a giant shit pile. And so now he's coming back after like years in exile, essentially.
Huh.
And he's coming back and he's doing this thing that's basically the follow-up to Mandy, and it's a big Lovecraft.
Oh. Did he do Mandy?
He did not do Mandy. No, the company, the same company.
Oh,
Mandy.
Okay, okay.
And he's adapting H.P. Lovecraft's Color Out of Space. So that'll be interesting.
Very cool.
And that's what the big Rumorg story is.
Awesome. Yeah, it is. And I actually, that makes me, because I didn't know any of that stuff, that makes me excited to see that. There's a Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur trade.
Yeah, one of those. I think it's the second one of those oversized ones that are directed at the YA market.
There is a Kanan the Barbarian.
Kanan the Barbarian.
There is a
Babar the Barbarian.
Babar.
Oh, wait
when's,
a second. Hold
he
on.
Making a comeback?
Quick.
Joker Harley, Criminal Sanity, number 2.
Yes, that thing.
That is out. And then there is a new Black Hammer trade, which if you are getting the Black Hammer trades, get this one, because I read it already, and it is good. Black Hammer Age of Doom, part 2. That is out. And then you also received amazing They Live action figures.
Yes. Yeah, we've got the new line of NECA figures. We got a bunch of stuff from NECA this week. We got the slightly cheaper figures that came out. We got a Predator and an Alien from the Kenner knockoff lines, and they're very cool. Hmm. And we also got They Live Mego style dressed doll figures.
They are great.
They are really expensive.
They come with a
but
little
they're
TV.
Really good. Like it's one of the coolest action figure sets I've ever seen.
Yeah, one of the accessories is literally like the TV. With the Obey screen and all that. My only thing is that like it would have been really cool, like I said to you, if they made the figure so they look normal, but you got a special pair of glasses that you put on and then you saw like the underneath.
I honestly would have loved to have had like Captain Action style, like pull their faces off mask kind of
things.
Yes,
perfect.
I would have loved those as like Captain Action figures, but I mean NECA, they make perfect action figures.
Yeah,
when they do stuff
awesome.
Like these are exactly right, and they're just really gorgeous. We got those. There's a new Bob Ross, The Joy of Painting action figure, and that looks phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's just,
I bet that's gonna sell
perfect.
Pretty quick.
It's so good. We got plenty of those. They're awesome. Yeah, so those are great. I've been doing a ton of work on the website this week. Oh. And actually a couple of weeks before we're breaking stuff down. I added like 30 new horror soundtracks to the website. I've added, you know, more games, more puzzles, more cards, more things like that. Speaking of puzzles, this week, we don't have them in yet. I've listed them on the website because they're coming in like tomorrow or the next day. But we have a new contract with Messed Up Puzzles, which is this company that does horror puzzles, and they're awesome.
Wow.
Including the naked lady puzzle that causes the kid to go insane in the movie Pieces. They actually made that puzzle. They recreated that.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds amazing.
It's amazing. The movie Pieces is mental. It's simultaneously the like most hateful, insane, awful horror movie, and also the goofiest, funniest horror movie.
But it's a naked lady puzzle that a kid puts together and goes.
Yeah, the beginning of the movie, he's like in his room and he's like putting together a naked lady puzzle, and his mom freaks out on him, so he kills her.
Oh.
And then from then on, he's just cutting people into pieces and putting them back together like a puzzle.
Oh. Well, as you do.
As you do. It sounds like the plot of a horror movie from like a comedy making fun of horror movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it sounds like kind of like a Saw, but like it, one of those kind of things.
But
like,
it's way goofier. There's actually a kung fu scene in it.
Ooh.
But also, nice. So of all the things that we put up like we did a bunch of dunnies this week, loose dunnies that are up on the website. You can find those under the blind box tab. I put a bunch of skate stuff up. I put a bunch of, like I said, all the vinyl, all the Cards Against Humanity is up there. You can buy Cards Against Humanity from us through the website and support us instead of some dumb corporation.
Are you insulting Cards Against Humanity as a dumb corporation?
No, they actually sell through Target as well, which is a bummer. But luckily, they do the way that they structure it. They can't, like, we sell for exactly what Target does. So there's no, you can buy it from an indie shop
so it's
and
not
you make
gonna,
the same
you're
amount.
Not, yeah, that's cool.
They have a specific pricing structure. So that's very nice.
Fuck Target.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, so there's all those things. We put up Monster in My Pockets and muscle figures and things like that. They're up on the website individually listed.
Nice.
There's all sorts of crazy vintage stuff.
Damn.
So go take a look at it. I've been putting a lot of work into this website, and I'm doing it every week. I'm putting in lots of time, taking photos and categorizing stuff and putting it up there.
Nice.
We have lots of He-Man figures and things like that, too.
Cool.
Oh, God. People are buying things. Stop it.
Oh, no. Those things we just talked about?
Oh, no.
You might want to check for availability.
Awesome.
That's all I'm saying.
So those are the things. Come visit us.
Yeah.
We're going to be around. We're open all New Year's Day because I'm just going to go to bed tonight because that's the kind of person I am.
Yeah. I mean,
a tired person.
a person who is not 21.
That is the goddamn truth.
Anyway,
you got any further things to add to this? Other than Happy New Year?
Happy New Year. Okay. I think that would cover it. Personally, I've started watching The X-Files from the first episode.
Wow. Michelle was watching The X-Files when I walked in.
Oh, funny. Yeah, I don't know. Allie kind of like came up with it. We just watched all of Channel Zero. Have you seen any of that show?
No.
Whew. it's I can't get into it on this. But okay, we'll talk after the show. Cool. Channel Zero ended up. It's like some of it is the best horror television I've ever seen, and some of it is the worst horror television I've ever seen. And sometimes it's inside the same episode.
Ooh,
it's very,
I like that.
Very interesting.
Awesome.
No, nothing else. Any events or anything like that going on?
No. Somebody's releasing Radioactive Dreams on Blu-ray soon, so you should buy that if you happen to like shitty post-apocalyptic comedies from the 80s.
Okay. I actually am about to drop some Matt from the other podcast is going to hook me up with a VCR.
Nice.
And I'm going to start watching. I'm going to start with my new videotape, Roadside Prophets, which it can't be purchased on DVD for less than $100.
Yikes.
It's not that good a movie.
I'm surprised that it's not.
It's one of my favorites.
I'm surprised it's not more expensive on VHS.
It was cheap as hell on VHS, apparently. Weird. She there was like this Christmas present. She was like, well, I can't give it to you because it needs another piece. And I was like, well, what's the point of that? It's just sitting here. And she's like, well, okay. And so then I opened it. So the other pieces, she needed to get a VCR because I got rid of my VCR when we moved in together. And anyway, I only own like 10 VCR tapes now, but they are awesome, and it includes two copies of Human Highway.
Nice.
Two copies.
That's pretty great.
Everyone I've ever seen.
So good. All right. Well, thank you guys. Have a happy new year, and we will see you next week.
Next week. Happy new year. I get a cup of brew. God, I need some coffee. And tornado. Don't need the buzz coming down on me. If I had one wish, I'd wish this all away.